Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's 13 February 2023, and welcome to the broadcast tonight. We're going to skip the usual introduction as far as the what we have on sale. Another updates I'm going to bring to you at the bottom of the hour, so hang on. I got some things I want to share with you about the hour, but tonight, I'm going to do something I've never done before in almost 30 years on the radio. Now, we've talked about gun control. We've talked about different things over many, many, many years and why gun control was not in the Bible and why it is ungodly and how the Second Amendment of the Constitution is great. It's okay. It's wonderful. But I take it a step further in the fact that it's our duty as Christians, it's our duty as believers, and I can show you in the Bible, to arm yourself, take your family and your friends, and of course your church family. Now that's a fact. It's a duty. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you don't, you're worse than infidel and deny the faith. That's just a fact. But we're going to do something different tonight. I'm going to bring a guy up who wrote a book entitled "The America's Rifle: The Case for the AR-15." Now you say, well, that's unusual for a preacher to bring that kind of stuff up. I know it is, and it's sad. It's sad that it is. It's sad that we live in a nation where the pastors of the church don't teach the people about their duty to protect themselves and their families. It truly is. But his name is Stephen Halbrook. The book is said that he wrote America's Rifle, The Case for the AR-15. He said, I began challenging an assault weapon ban when California passed the first state ban in American history, the Robert Ruse Law of 1989. At the time, the Ninth Circuit ruled that the right to keep and bear arms didn't apply in California, a denial that the U.S. Supreme Court overruled when it held the Second Amendment also restricts state and local governments in McDonald versus Chicago in 2010. Now, well, I read this article. I got a copy of the National Rifle Association magazine, and I read I do support, as you know, folks, Gun Owners of America. I don't want to support, but I got a copy of this magazine, and I read this article, and I was thoroughly impressed with the way he wrote it and the points he made in it. Let's bring up our guest now before we go any further. Let's talk to our guest, Stephen Halbrook. And Stephen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Pastor. Glad to be here.
Well, you know, we were talking during the break there. And, folks, this is sad to say. I did not know this. I should have, but I didn't know this. He mentioned to me that, Steve, you take on, you represent people, you take on laws, I mean, you take on people to court on trying to defend their duty, their right to keep and bear arms. I mean, that's what you do, right?
I'm an attorney and also an author, and one thing I've done a lot in my career is to challenge gun laws, the type that apply to law-abiding citizens. These are victimless crimes that are created. You get heavy terms of imprisonment for ridiculous things they made up this term assault weapon. It's just an ordinary rifle. If it's got a certain kind of pistol grip or some attachment on the muzzle, then you get 10 years incarceration, potentially. We had a federal ban from 94 to 2004, but it expired. It never reduced crime one whit. But we do have the fact that it's politically correct to pass these laws. They exist in 8 states in the whole U.S. 42 states don't have them. But states, the usual suspect states, you know, that restrict everything. California, sure. New Jersey, New York, you go down the list. It's easy.
Well, you know, it's amazing. You told me, though, that when you go to court, you have different so-called churches, and Protestants, Catholics, Jews, all of them will come out against you in favor of restricting gun laws. Now, is that true?
Yes. Courts allow, especially a court of appeal, they allow so-called friend of the court briefs to be filed, amicus curiae briefs. And so if a gun law is upheld by some lower court, then you appeal that and you go to the court of appeals, and the people on your side of the fence file briefs to try to help you out. And then the government people, they're supported by other amicus briefs, and it's frequently the case that so-called religious groups file briefs supporting these gun restrictions. And let's talk about what the gun restrictions are. They're not restrictions on violent criminals. These laws don't apply to them. These are laws that want to send law-abiding people to prison and for having some totally innocuous feature on a type of rifle, for example, that's commonly possessed by the millions throughout the U.S., like the AR-15, for example. And these briefs get filed, and they don't know what they're saying, what they're advocating. They think they're just going to push a button and violence is going to disappear, because you're going to disarm everybody. But it doesn't work that way. That's a sure way to get to tyranny, where the government monopolizes all arms. They have their police and their military, and they take the guns away. But these religious groups file these briefs thinking it's going to be some kind of heaven on earth when all the crime gets abolished, which this doesn't do. But they really don't know what they're talking about.
No, they don't. But, you know, and maybe some of them are sincere and thinking they can stop crime by taking away mine and your guns. You know, they may really believe that. But I have to really think, and I'm persuaded, that the masses know what they're doing. They're trying to disarm the people. Because if you look at the statistics, it's very, very clearly a statistic that's been proven many times, that the lower the gun, the more gun control, the greater the crime in that area. Chicago, New York, Miami, I take back Miami, I think it's changed some now. But other cities in California, of course, the stricter the gun laws, the higher the crime rate. Now, either they can't see that or won't see that, but either way, they're either liars or they're ignorant. But I have to believe that they know what they're saying. They want to restrict these things. And AR-15 is a fine little rifle. When I started out in military, it was M16. I wasn't too impressed with M16 in duty. They weren't reliable. But the AR-15 has kind of stepped up a notch on that. They're a fine little rifle. They're a good sporting rifle. They're good target practice. They're relatively inexpensive to shoot. And it's a good home protection gun as well as anything else. But so you speak on the fact that what you've seen as far as gun control and what it's done to the populace.
Well, so we have, I'll put it at 42 states that are, I'll call them free states. And those states basically respect the right to keep and bear arms. There's 8 states that have these kinds of bans. Most recently, just last year, there were only 6 states that have these kinds of bans. And they were the same states that also would not issue permits to carry handguns except to a select few. And the U.S. Supreme Court called them to task in this case last year, called New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And an excellent opinion by Justice Clarence Thomas held that if you're going to respect the right to bear arms, you have to, if you're going to require a permit, you have to make it accessible to all law-abiding people, not just
very rich people or prison people, people who pay bribes. And I mean, New York City, they were paying bribes to get permits to carry handguns. But if you're a celebrity, you can get it. But if you live in a poor neighborhood that's high crime, you would never get the permit. And so the Supreme Court held that to be contrary to the Second Amendment. And so what does New York go and do? They said, okay, we'll issue the carry permits, but you can't carry it hardly anywhere. They made it restricted. They have these so-called gun-free zones that criminals don't respect. And they make it a major crime for a law-abiding person, even with a carry permit, to go to those places.
Well, you know, it's amazing that, and again, we can argue figures all night, and we know we're right on that. And that, again, is not the point of gun restrictions. That's not the point about to stop crime. We know that. Chicago itself proves that over and over every weekend. Yet they have the same mayor in office. I don't know how she stays in office, but she has. And we see this nonsense, you know, spreading throughout places like that. Here in West Virginia, I'm very blessed to be here. We have constitutional carry in this state. We can carry concealed or open, don't need a permit, and I do everywhere I go. When I'm preaching, I got it on my hip. When I'm traveling down the highway, I got it on my hip or my pocket. I always carry a weapon with me. I'm not ashamed of that. As a matter of fact, I'm obeying Christ's command, Luke 22:36, where he told disciples, of which I am one, to arm themselves. And that's what I do. But you mentioned, you were talking about the AR-15. Everybody said, well, it's an assault weapon. You know, my friend, Stephen, a baseball bat can be an assault weapon, can it?
Well, that's the correct use of the term, I think. An assault weapon is a weapon used in an assault. It could be, I remember one case where the court said the prisoner assaulted using the broom was the assault weapon that the prisoner used to assault the guard, the prison guard. And so that's what it really means. And then we had in World War II, the Nazis invented the term Sturmgewehr, which meant assault rifle, which was selective fire, meaning that you could fire it single shots or you could fire automatically. And so the term assault rifle does have a military use, but the term assault weapon came to be a propaganda term invented in about 1989. The anti-gun group Violence Policy Center, they put out a pamphlet saying that, why don't we use that term? People are confused. An M16 looks kind of like an AR-15, and so people think that they're all machine guns, and of course they're not, but they play upon that, and they say stupid things like, oh, the purpose of the pistol grip is to fire from the hip to shoot as many people as quickly as possible. I mean, what a fantasy concept that is, that they just invented. And yet we have courts upholding some of these laws, the courts in the usual suspect states, California, Maryland, New York, New Jersey. You know, you go down the list. They restrict everything. They want to make everybody into their image, that they're the social engineers. They know what's best for you. And so here we go. They want to disarm you because that's the way, the road to power.
That's right.
You know, I wrote a book called Gun Control and the Third Reich, Disarming the Jews and Enemies of the State. And that's exactly what gun control was used for in Nazi Germany. Registration was passed by the Weimar Republic, and when the Nazis came to power, they knew who had the guns. So they looked up all their political enemies and then the Jews, and there you go. They have a totalitarian state. It's very simple.
Well, you know, and it irks me no end to hear somebody say, well, he had an automatic weapon. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's a semi-automatic. Automatic means you pull the trigger once and empty the magazine. Semi means you got to squeeze the trigger every time you fire a shot. But people, I mean, he had an automatic pistol. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He had a Colt 45 that held 7 shots. He had to pull the trigger every shot. But I guess they're ignorant. I won't say they're ignorant. But this is absurd. And, of course, now they're coming after the AR-15 because, well, it's a military weapon. Well, guess what the colonials carried when they were 1776? They carried military weapons. That's what they had. They even had cannons in the towns. They were fully armed to defend themselves. But today we hear this, well, it's a military weapon. No, that isn't what, you know, Stephen, I've owned guns about all my life. I'm 74 years old now, and I own guns, and I'm not ashamed to tell you I have them, and I do carry them, and I do use them. But I didn't buy them to be a weapon. I didn't buy them for that reason. They can be used for that reason, but I didn't buy them for that reason. You know, I didn't buy a baseball bat to knock somebody's head off either, but if I saw I have my hand there attacking me, I'll use it. I didn't buy it for that reason. So they keep telling me we're buying weapons. I don't buy weapons. I buy firearms because I want to shoot them. I may have them in my house to defend myself, but they're not a weapon until somebody makes me use them as a weapon. Does that make sense to you?
Well, absolutely. And the lies that are told about this subject, you know, the AR-15 uses the 5.56 millimeter or .223 caliber cartridge. It's not even legal for deer hunting in a lot of states, although the ballistics have improved and it might be legal sometimes in some places, but it's not enough. And these kinds of cartridges are meant to wound in battle. They're not meant to kill necessarily. If you wound an enemy soldier, they got to carry him off and care for him. But in any event, we have people claiming that if you get hit with a .223 cartridge, it would obliterate your head, or that you could shoot somebody in half if you hit them in the torso. That's the most stupid claim. But they're making these claims, and they're saying these things to advocate these new laws. And Illinois just passed their first so-called assault weapon ban. And you had the same kind of propaganda, people advocating it. The fact is, there's been mass shootings in our country, but the number of people statistically that are killed is completely dwarfed by the numbers killed by regular criminals and everyday robberies and murders. And the rifles that are banned are used almost never in crime.
And rifles are
the lowest use in violent crime of any kind of firearm. Supreme Court said in the Heller case that handguns are constitutionally protected. So they haven't had a chance yet to rule on the rifle bans that are going around. But I think when that subject gets to them, I'm confident they're going to do the right thing. And that's what I've tried to show in my book, America's Rifle, the case for the AR-15, that if you look at history and you look at our constitutional development, This rifle is absolutely protected by the Second Amendment.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And by the way, the ATF, of course, the ATF passed a law. They're not the legislature. They made a law to outlaw stocks for pistols that come off the pistol. I mean, they're detachable stocks. They outlaw those. You have so many days to turn them in or license them or whatever. But they're making law now. The ATF's making law. But the comment just made about the military weapon, I want to read this, folks, because when the Freedmen's Bureau Act of 1866 declared that the rights to personal liberty and personal security included the constitutional right to bear arms, referring in part to military arms. That's been ruled already. By the turn of the century, the era of semi-automatic rifles had arrived. As Kavanaugh wrote in his Heller 2 dissent, as early as 1907, Winchester was offering the general 10-shot magazine for use with his .351 caliber semi-automatic rifles. Many of the early semi-automatic rifles were available with pistol grips. Oh, my, those were assault weapons clear back then, weren't they? They were nasty. They shouldn't let those happen in this country. He goes on to say, these were not military-style rifles, as armed forces would not adopt the semi-automatic rifles for another three decades. So they weren't even using them in the early 1900s, semi-rifles. Folks, all this, we could go on hours and hours about this, and we can prove a point over and over and over, but that doesn't seem to register in the minds of those who don't want to hear it. The thing that makes me angry is that the churches today, and the pastors in particular, don't teach the duty to keep and bear arms behind the pulpit. From behind the pulpit, it's a biblical concept. I've taught it many times. And the scriptures tell us that if we don't defend our own, that we deny the faith and we're sniffed at, we're going to hell, folks, if we don't defend our own family. That's Bible. Now, you do with it as you please. I'm not going to sit and argue with Biden. There's no point. The man can't put a sentence together. Don't forget about that. But I'm telling the churches tonight, listen to this program, that your pastor needs to teach you out of the scriptures and out of history, why you need to arm yourself as commanded in Numbers chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 4, Luke 22, why we need to arm ourselves as commanded by our God. And I don't want to start preaching here, Stephen, but this gets me fired up. But the AR-15, why did you choose that particular rifle for your topic?
Well, that's because it's the most popular rifle in America right now. There's been, I think, 40 million of them or so that have been manufactured. AR-15s are rifles of like kind. And this is the rifle that so many people use. The anti-gun people try to say is nobody wants it but drug traffickers and murderers and people like that. And they're so far afield, it's crazy. You go to any shooting range in the country, and you're going to see more of that kind of rifle than any other kind of rifle these days. It's a very fine rifle. It's usable by people who don't want to have a heavy kick when they fire, like
that's
the 308
right.
would give you. And you have the retractable shoulder stock, so you can make it fit a smaller frame, maybe a son or a daughter or a woman, or you can make it longer for a person of larger frame, so you have a comfortable fit. You have high accuracy, high reliability, and you can use it for target shooting, for certain kinds of hunting, and you can use it to defend yourself and your family. You know, I like the way you're taking back the right to defend yourself and your family to fundamental values, because the first law of nature is self-defense.
Amen.
And that's basically religious teachers, philosophers, everybody agrees with that. And the duty to defend your family and your neighbors and your community, that should be something that's unquestioned. But we have this perception now that people shouldn't defend themselves. And, you know, we had the 2020 riots, and those few people who tried to defend themselves were prosecuted. Fortunately, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted by the jury. But you have the fact that this pacifism that's being preached, and there's no alternative, and this is like leading the lambs to the slaughter, because if people, everyday people, won't defend themselves, if they won't stand up, I mean, like you were saying, that it's a duty to defend yourself. And if you go back, like, to medieval England, every able-bodied male had to have the longbow, and he had to practice it once a week.
Yep.
And it was a duty imposed by the king, but it became a right because it's your property, and you could use it to defend yourself and your family and your community. So you do have many people have recognized that Thomas Jefferson talked about the right and the duty to keep and bear arms. So that's a fundamental American value, is the fact that people should be able to protect themselves and their families and their communities.
And, you know, bring it down even on a more base level to explain this. I've never met you, and I don't know your family, don't know your wife. But if for some reason I was around your family, around your wife, for example, and somebody attacked her and I had means to protect her, wouldn't it be my duty to do so?
What kind of person would not do that?
I mean, there you go. Yes, there you go.
Used in incidents, like there was an incident in Florida where you had a husband and wife and a young daughter, and these armed intruders burst into the house, and they're pistol whipping the dad and grabbing the child, and the woman goes and finds the AR-15 and shoots one of the intruders dead, and then I think the other one was wounded as he fled. But these incidents happen. And the sheriff was grateful that happened. Of course they were not arrested or prosecuted. But if you go, had they done that in California, they probably would have been prosecuted for just possession of the rifle.
That's very true. That's very true. You know, at this, again, folks, this topic has never been covered in specifics, as I said, in my broadcast. And I'm talking about this certain gun now, the AR-15. Yes, I have one. And I just want to say it on worldwide radio, I don't care, I have one. I also have an AK-47, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I know I shouldn't communicate all the world, but there's no point in me talking about these things if I don't even own one. That'd be make me a hypocrite. So I have one, and my grandson, who was about 17 or 16 when I got it, He loved to shoot. I got a video of him shooting off her back deck. I live out in the country. A light recoil, and I said relatively cheap to shoot compared to most rifles. And you, in this state, you can deer hunt with it, and some people have killed deer with it. My brother has with his 223. So this is something that is, it shouldn't be debatable, but it is. Just because something holds more than three or four rounds, 10 rounds, 20 rounds, whatever you might have in the way of magazines, that is your personal duty and your personal decision to own that. And that's just that simple. So I don't understand, Stephen, how these people even have a chance in court. But as I said, the ATF just come out and said, well, you can't own a detachable stock for your pistol. Who gave them the right to say that, the power to do that? Now, I know it's going to go to court, but these kind of things shouldn't even be brought up to discuss. They're non-negotiable. But the sad part is, as you said, churches today and so-called religious groups and even other, many more people starting to sign on because they really think that's the way you have to go. Just take the hands out of the good people, guns out of the hands of the good people, and that way you do away with crime. Doesn't work that way. How many thousands of cases a year have people defended their families and their businesses because they had a gun on them?
And how many crimes have been successful because people were not armed?
There you go.
And if you look at what's going on with our so-called progressive prosecutors, okay, no bail, you can commit armed robbery. I mean, that's a felony. That's the type of felony that you could actually defend yourself and kill the armed robber legitimately. That's lawful self-defense. And yet they don't want them to post bail, and they want them to get out. And you have the non-prosecution of a lot of crimes.
That's very, very
and
true.
And you blame the victim. And that's what's going on throughout our country in these jurisdictions that have these prosecutors that aren't really prosecuting cases. So you have different functions in the legal system. You have a defense attorney and you have a prosecutor. And you hope that by both sides being presented, that the truth will come out. If it's a jury trial, for example, we trust juries to make decisions and to rule in favor of self-defense if that's justified, if that's what the facts show. So it's not a question of, like, pushing a button and everybody's going to love each other and be peaceful.
It'd be nice. That'd be wonderful.
If you're willing to defend yourself and your family, you shouldn't have any respect for yourself.
That's totally true, absolutely true. We're down the last few seconds. Boy, this half hour went by very quickly, Stephen. I've enjoyed this. We should have more time with us tonight, but no, you don't. But I've enjoyed this very much, and I want to thank you for taking time to join us tonight. Maybe one day we can do it again in the future. How would that be?
We'll see about that. Yes, sir. The future is uncertain, isn't it? But
it is.
We'll certainly see.
Well, Stephen, it's been a pleasure having you. Thanks for joining me tonight on such short notice, and coming in, being with me and sharing this. And thank you for your stand. And I hope one day I won't need your services, but if I do, I'll give you a holler. How's that?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Talk to you soon. Folks, back at the break, a lot more to talk about. Don't go away. Got a lot to share with you.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers, made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's army's
coming. All right, folks, we are back, and I'm so glad you're with us, and I mean that. I hope you enjoyed the first half hour like I did. I wanted to show you, and I'm saying this humbly before God, I'm only a mere mortal, and I am so far from what I should be in Christ. But what I just did, every pastor should do. Every pastor should do. But don't hold your breath. But we'll make an announcement. We still have some of the Broken Arrow seminars left, and we'd like to get them in your hands if you want them. $750 will get one delivered to you. $350 more will get two. And add $350 to that, you get another one. Anything about $750 to $350 apiece, get all you want of them while they last. Folks, that was history in the making, and you're going to see how relevant those were many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, as to what's happening in the world today. And I mean that. And I hope that you will get them because there's something you give to give as gifts and to your friends and family, and I do mean that. I sincerely do. And I want to share some thoughts with you and some things happening in the world today, and I want you to look at the reasons why it's happening. And I want you to think with me according to the Scriptures. But before I do that, may I read a text you got from one of my grandsons? I've been blessed to have four of them. And I want to read to you a text he sent me. This young man is 19 years old. He's getting married next year. He asked me to do the wedding, and I was so honored he said that. But he sent me a text. I did some teachings I just finished up last Bible study entitled Understanding Spiritual Warfare, 4 hours long. He said, Papa, just watched all your spiritual warfare sermons. So far, they are amazing, and I'm glad God gave me a year for this kind of stuff, and I want to know more, but very good sermons. Glory to God. That's for my grandson. His name is Isaac. I'm so thankful that he's a kind of young man he is, and his older sister that made me a great-grandpa has the same kind of heart for Christ also. Folks, I'm not bragging on me. Please, please, please let that be far from you, me thinking that. But that's the fruit of trying to raise my sons in a godly home. The fruit of the worldly homes is all around us. The fruit of the insanity of this nation is spreading. There's this promise in Deuteronomy 28:28. The insanity is spreading just like our God said it would among the people. And Psalms 2, sometime read it. I'm going to read some things to you, some news to you, but I want to share these things. Psalms 2, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I mean, folks, he's talking to you and I, this nation, America. He's talking to the world. But he's talking to this nation we called America that was at one time, its early founding in the 1600s, was basically a theocracy. And God blessed it tremendously, did he not? But why have all of a sudden do we rage against God? Because we have a nation full of heathens, and a lot of them go to church. It said, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He's saying what's happened all the world since Christ left. The people, the Christians have been martyred and slaughtered by the millions. And now it's coming to good old U.S. of A. They want to take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, his people, his believers, his born-again believers. And they want to break our bands, the laws of God. They want to break those away from them so they can be free to live like they want and commit all manner of, evils I don't even want to speak about, unspeakable evils. And cause the insanity to spread throughout the world and throughout this nation to the young people. I'm going to read something to you here, a statement. Terrible things don't happen because most people are evil. They happen because a few are evil and most are simply cowards. That's why they act like nothing is happening. Even if they know it's wrong, they still won't say anything. History now makes perfect sense. Well said. Well said. A gentleman named William Blum, former U.S. State Department employee, said this. No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you imagine. Hey, I'm not making this stuff up. And do you know why it's out of hand? Because we have pastors who stand against people defending themselves. We have pastors who won't stand up to stop the perversion in the churches. We have the Methodist Church now ordaining sodomites, and it's not the only one. We have so-called churches voting on whether women should be allowed to kill their babies or not. We have governments, and this article, folks, you can find for yourself. If you look on our website, PastorButch.com, look under government cover-ups. The United States guilty of terrorism by blowing up Nord Stream pipeline. Remember that, when that got blew up? When they wondered what happened, who did it? The USA did it. That's right. 85-year-old journalist Seymour Hersh, who used to write for the New York Times and is referred to by some as the greatest journalist of our time, and now published on Substack, wrote the fact that, yes, the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Oh, yes. Yes, that's our government today. You know why they're doing that? They get by with it? Because the people are blind to the fact that we've committed something in one of the books I've written. I can't remember which one it was. I wrote a chapter on patriotic idolatry. Patriotic idolatry. You know, that's, we're going to believe what our government says because it's our government. We're going to serve them no matter what you say. That's the idea. That's called patriotic idolatry. And the Bible says that the people become inventors of evil things. The natural things, the natural evils we see, we think about stealing and lying and killing and adultery and fornication, all that, those will say are natural things. but they invent evil things. Invent more evil, because that's where their minds are. It's just like it was in days of Noah. Every thought was evil continuously, as a social being returning the Son of Man. The same thing. Artificial intelligence is going to generate a massive porn addiction problem and new victims. America already has a porn problem, and it's about to get much, much worse, and there's a chance that you'll be involved in it, whether you like it or not. Here's why. You undoubtedly heard a bit about ChatGPT, OpenAI, and DALL-E by this point, and artificial intelligence, DALL-E, is capable of some absolutely fantastic art. Now, I'm not going to go through all the details. I don't have time to. But listen to what it's saying here. What happens if you walk into a store with cameras all over the place with this type of technology? That's facial recognition, folks. And I appreciate this back in the late 90s, that the digital pictures that we all, if you've got your driver's license, have a digital picture and driver's license, your digital picture goes into a database, and a worldwide database. It'll go into the stores to recognize you. You walk through doors, just like the movie Minority Report did, brought out many years ago. You are now, your face, the number of a man, that's your number, your personal ID of your face, personal print of your face, your personal fingerprint, if you will, of your face. It's a number of your face. Your number is now pasted all over the world because you took that damnable digital picture, and for 12 years I preached, don't do it, and I didn't have one, and I still don't have one. At least not that I know of. If they took it, I didn't know it. I got a driver's license, but no digital picture. Let's move on. What happens if you walk to a store with cameras all over the place with this type of technology? By the time you left the store, you've been captured by 20 cameras from all different angles, and the guy monitoring the cameras in the back room thinks you're attractive. He's also a bit of a perv. He takes those images of you, feeds them into ChatGPT, /DALL-E, style AI, and use it to create pornographic images of you, and that he now sells. Admittedly, I'm not the first one to put these dots together. Transhumanist Ray Kurzweil discussed in his The Singularity Is Near all the way back to 2005. Aside from Bloodstone nanotechnology that emits Wi-Fi and then it is hackable by 2030, Kurzweil also discussed how VR and AI are going to be used extensively for pornographic behaviors. These technologies are already out there. They simply have to be combined, and they will be. Folks, this is happening in a land that's inventing evil. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? We're heading down a road to destruction every day. And, folks, these things probably are going to be something minor to consider with what the future of this nation has coming. A secret plan in 1989 to microchip every man, woman, and child. I've been preaching on this for many, many years. Laughed at, mocked, and scorned. My life's been threatened on different things I brought forth. I said back in the middle 90s that one day if we allow homosexuality, they'll be getting married and adopting children. And one day they'll make pedophilia illegal, and everybody, they actually threatened to burn down the radio station I was on. Oh, yeah, they did. I was on one local station, a 50,000-watt station. They threatened to burn it down and picket the place. And they never did. But they did loosen both tie rods of my car. I was on a trip heading down North Carolina tonight, and both of them come loose. I mean, they loosened them. They both about fell off. They took the loosened lug nuts on my tires. Yeah, this is I'm telling the truth. This actually happened. But a newspaper article in 1989 described implanting microchips into all of us to link us to a master computer. Plans for such systems are already underway. The article written over 30 years ago also stated. Sources say that tiny transmitters can be injected painlessly in humans without even knowing it through a nationwide vaccination program. Whoa! On page 444 of Milton William Cooper's book, now if anybody knows William Cooper, you probably should, if you've been in this movement very long. He wrote a book entitled Behold a Pale Horse. On page 444 is an image of an article from a newspaper dated August 1st, 1989. Although the image in Cooper's book doesn't show which newspaper or magazine published the article, it's reputed to have been published by the Sun, which version of the sun, UK or USA or Australia, is not clear, and there seems to be, no easy way of checking or to demonstrate this effort. So anyway, clear back in 1989, the article was written that they're going to chip people. Folks, what do you think is being done with all the aluminum and barium and things that's coming out in the air? Why do you think they're working on 5G, 6G, and talking about even going higher than that? Why do you think that is? Many years ago, at our church services, I showed a video of nanochips being spread all throughout the land. I mean, all over that, in buildings, out in lawns and trees. Nanochips being spread everywhere. That's exactly what they're either doing or trying to do right now with what they're doing with all these so-called chemtrails. There's a video on our website, again, PastorBush.com. Look under government cover-ups or health news because it affects your health. Look on there what's coming down with the so-called chemtrails. Look at how they're working very, very stealthily and very, very, we'll say, persistently to chip us all by what we breathe, what we drink, and what we eat. Yeah, check it out. Check out our website. You'll find it on it. It's about, I don't know, 10-minute-long video. We're seeing these things happen because the church won't even teach the basics of self-defense, much less open people's eyes what's happening. Why should they? They're waiting for the rapture. And they'll never be lost again. They went to the altar a while back and said they got saved. They can't be lost anymore. They're taught by the churches that, hey, you can live like you want to. After you go to the altar, you know, in some churches, especially Baptist churches, say, well, you can live like you want to, and you'll never go to hell because you say you were saved. I have seen the fruit of that teaching in my own family. The ones saved always save nonsense. More insanity. Same-sex marriages will receive prayers for God's blessing for the first time in the Church of England following a vote at the General Synod, the legislative body of the established Church of England. So, this is not, don't scoff at England. We've been doing it for years. Well, maybe not all churches. But we're already doing sodomite marriages in churches. We have women preachers doing it. Both are equally ungodly. Yes, I said equally ungodly. There is no such thing as a woman preacher. You get mad if you want to, I really don't care. Go ahead. Turn the radio off and go kick the cat or something. That's up to you. San Francisco considers red light district. Oh, why not, preachers? Just the way you make money. Well, California just made it so that prostitutes can actually gather outside schools and walk the streets and to hawk their wares, so to speak. They can't be arrested for loitering now. In California, it's legal for the prostitutes to walk the street, advertise their wares anywhere they want to. Well, San Francisco is considering a formal red light district as it attempts to cut down on illegal street prostitution while also allowing sex workers to continue the trade. They can walk the streets anywhere now. Now, prostitution is still illegal, but they can walk down the street and take offers, I guess. The Los Angeles Times reported this past Thursday, as San Francisco prepares to block vehicle traffic from a stretch of the Mission District this month in an attempt to stifle street prostitution, the idea of creating a designated district for sex work is gaining attraction among some advocates and officials. Why not? State of Nevada allows it. Why not? Do you understand the insanity that's being spread? Are you seeing, you know, the Lord God said in Psalms 2, that we have the people in derision. That means total confusion, total chaos. Are you seeing that happening here? New Hampshire school bans urinals amid gender identity bathroom kerfuffle. Students walk out. New Hampshire high school students stage a walkout protesting an unusual compromise that avoided the requirement for students to use bathrooms corresponding with biological sex. Repeat that. New Hampshire school students staged a walkout protesting an unusual compromise that avoided the requirement for students to use bathrooms corresponding to biological sex. The compromise bars students from using urinals and communal spaces in locker rooms, with the eventual plan to include enclosing all bathrooms and locker room stalls. As a female, I don't think it's safe to have males in our bathroom, Milford High School student Lena Silva told WMUR. This is creating a complex system of inequality for LGBTQ plus students, Autumn Diverly told the station. Nobody asked for this. During Friday's protest, students carried signs that said, "We want urinals, and where is our vote?" "We're trying to make it work for everyone," Milford School Board Chairman Zudi Zano said, according to Nashua Telegraph. Let me just make a point here. Wouldn't it be simpler to go back to what once was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, where boys went to boys' bathrooms and locker rooms and girls did the same thing for them? Wouldn't it be easier to admit there's only two sexes and keep it like that? Well, wasn't any complication about this in the past? We'd have students walking out over concerns that a boy's going to go to the boys' bathroom and others walking out because it's going to offend LGBTQ perverts. It just didn't happen back then. It's sad, isn't it? It's really sad the nation has come to this. Florida medical boards eliminate loophole allowing minors to receive puberty blockers in clinical trials. Good for Florida. God bless Florida. Good for them. Amen. Way to go. Do it. Go for it. But why in the name of all that's holy do we have to have a law passed, school board, to make a rule that you can't tell five-year-olds how to become an opposite sex and give them puberty blockers? Why do we need that? Is that not derision, insanity, perversion beyond words? Two Florida medical boards approved the rule barring minors from receiving non-surgical gender dysphoria treatments like puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones as part of the clinical trial, Florida Voice reported Friday. This board has reviewed hundreds of studies. We talked to doctors. We received testimony from both sides of this issue. And the overwhelming data does not support the use of chemical and surgical treatments for gender dysphoria. Florida Board of Medicine board member Dr. Hector Avila, MD, said according to the same outlet. This isn't about trans or homophobia, Tampa based Villa said, according to Health News Florida. This isn't about politics. This is about the information we reviewed, the testimony we listened to, and the narrow set of circumstances in which we're trying to protect children given the circumstances that we have. The Florida Board of Medicine and the Florida Board of Osteopathic Medicine approved the rule in November 2022 that banned physicians from prescribing puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and some surgical interventions for new patients under the age of 18. Why? In the name of God Almighty, are we having to have such discussions about children, period? And why is the church so damnably quiet about this? I know a lot of y'all go to church with this program. I know a lot of you go to church. Has your pastor ever taught you about your duty to own a defense weapon? Has your pastor ever taught you that? And maybe offered one like I just mentioned, that we just hope at the AR-15. Did he ever do that for you? Did your pastor ever do that? Now, if you're going to a church where there's a woman pastor, you're not going to church anyway, so just forget it. Just forget it. I don't care if she's a conservative and everything else. She's not a lawful pastor in the eyes of God. You can't find the Bible anywhere a woman is called to be a pastor. Christ called 70 plus 12. 82 of them, and not a one was a woman. And the qualification to be a pastor or a deacon has to be a husband and one wife. And I guess in today's society, I guess a woman could be the husband and one wife, I suppose. But anyway, Catholic schoolboy who was kicked out of school for saying there are only two genders is arrested. Now, this happened in Canada, but it's come to good old U.S. of A. On Sunday, TGP reported on a high school student in a Catholic school in Canada who was suspended from his school for speaking out against transgender bathrooms and sharing his belief that there are only two genders. This is in a Catholic school. I should tell you what kind of Christians Catholics basically are. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Most of them. Josh Alexander is making national news in the U.S. for standing up against evil and insanity. On Monday, the young man was arrested for attending school. That's right, arrested for attending school. A Catholic high school student in Canada, was reportedly arrested Monday after being suspended for protesting against transgender people use of bathrooms and saying there are only two genders. And now he's appealing to Ontario's Human Rights Tribunal. Josh Alexander, 16, said the leadership of St. Joseph's Catholic High School in Renfrew, Ontario, told him that his continued attendance would be detrimental to the physical and mental well-being of transgender students, according to the Epoch Times. The high school junior tweeted that Ontario's police arrested and charged him after he attempted to attend class in a violation of an exclusion offer order following his suspension earlier this school year. Why do the heathen rage? And why do the ones that say they're his people keep silent? Why would anyone attend any so-called church? This Catholic school has to have a church. Why aren't the parents up in arms about this? I don't apologize for saying that, not even a little bit. Why aren't they angry? Could be the same reason that here in the little town in Eddy, West Virginia, we have people who attend a church that supports sexual perversion. Mount Zion Methodist Church is one of them. That's only one out of thousands of them doing now. Why would they attend that and call themselves believers in Christ? Why would they bother? There's nothing going on there that God is glorified in. There's nothing there of God at all. He dwells where truth lives. And truth be in Christ, in his word, God's not there. The Holy Spirit's not there. Nothing holy is in that building, including the people if they go there. Oh, are you judging? Now, yes, I am, and I don't apologize for it. By their fruit, you shall know them. Any group of people who tolerate that are not walking in Christ at all. Now, I know I'm not asking phone calls tonight. If you want to call, you got about 2 or 3 minutes left. You want to call, you may. About 2 minutes left, 844-769-2944. But, folks, this is why we're in this mess. Your pastor don't teach you about your duty to keep and bear arms. Your pastor don't teach you what's going on in the country. Your pastor don't tell you anything about what's happening because they don't want to rock the boat. They're making a good living what they're doing. They like their cozy lifestyle. They love the social club. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees did back in Christ's time. They're religious bigots. And I don't mean bigot in a bad way. I mean the way of being... I'm talking about religious, I shouldn't say religious hypocrites, but that way it's even better. Religious hypocrites. Oh, they're religious, all right. They truly are. The Pharisees and Sadducees were very religious. Very religious. But they were not followers of Christ. They weren't even followers of God in the laws and the way it's written. It's changing the way they want to live. Folks, I'll see you tomorrow night with a guest named Doug Thornton. You don't want to miss it. Have a great night.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.